Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
God gave me a Ferrari because I am a Ferrari. You're a Ferrari too.
When God made you, he had all the options put on. You are fully loaded and totally equipped.
So do this with me.
Where did we ever come up with the style of preaching we have today? There is some entertaining preaching, but not convicting preaching, and the legacy has been tragic.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is Wretched Radio. It's Witness Wednesday at Georgia Tech. And there's a young man who's sitting in the shade who's actually looking at a DVD cover. And I wonder, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Hey, young man, can I sit next to you and chat with you for a moment on the radio while you're sitting and enjoying the shade?
Yeah, sure.
Is it Aaron? All right, what year are you here at Georgia Tech?
I'm a grad student. I'm actually in
What are you doing here?
Yeah,
get out of here.
I'm trying.
What do you mean? Oh, so you're a grad, but have you graduated?
No.
Oh, so you got one more year to go.
Yeah.
And what do you want to do when you grow up?
Hopefully work for a research and development company.
To develop what?
Polymers, coatings.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Over my head. So plastic stuff
To
do what with it?
Whatever is needed to be done.
You like making little chemical things move around.
Yeah.
You exactly. Like that. What's with the movie Good, Bad, and the Ugly?
It's just some movies I picked up in case the weather is bad this weekend and I have to stay indoors.
Yeah. So. Show me what you got. Good, Bad, and the Ugly.
Some classics. Good, Bad, and the Ugly.
Uh-huh.
And then Mr. Smith Goes to Washington.
Wow, classic. An oldie.
Yeah.
He was a war hero. Do you know that?
I did, yeah.
Pretty cool dude. Yeah. All right, I want to go back to Good, Bad, and the Ugly.
Okay.
All right, here's my question for you. Ready? Which one are you? The good, the bad, or the ugly?
I think I still need some time to determine that.
Really?
Hopefully the good, but I don't know. Could be the bad. Possibly the ugly, too. I don't know.
All right. So how do you know which you are? What's the test?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I know the answer.
What's that?
Perfection.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be the test?
Yeah.
If you're good or bad?
Yeah.
All right. How's about the Ten Commandments?
Yeah.
Yeah? Is that a good test?
Yeah.
All right. Let's do the test.
Okay.
How many lies have you told in your life? Good person.
Quite a bit.
Okay. So if you've told quite a bit of lies, if I told quite a bit of lies, what name would you give to me?
A liar.
All right. How many things have you stolen in your life?
Some, I guess.
All right. What does that make you?
A stealer.
If you're from Pittsburgh, otherwise you'd be a?
A thief. Yeah, okay.
Let's try this one. Lusting.
Uh-huh.
Looking at a woman, sexual thoughts, sexual desire.
Yeah.
How many times today?
Probably a few.
All righty. So you're a luster at heart. You're an adulterer at heart. Can we say that?
Yeah.
All right. How's about as a child? Were you a good child? Were you a perfect child? Or were you naughty like the rest of us?
I had my times that I was naughty, I guess. Overall, hopefully good. But
yeah. All right. So there's four commandments right there.
Okay.
All right. By your own admission, you're a liar, you're a thief, an adulterer at heart who is a naughty kid.
Yeah.
Okay, are you good, bad, or ugly?
I guess bad, but I mean, it depends on who you're comparing to, so.
Well, we just did, the Ten Commandments.
Yeah, but only one person was ever able to, you know, satisfy perfection, so.
And that person was?
Jesus Christ, so. I mean, if you're comparing just to one person, then, yeah, everybody's bad, but I think, you know, overall, there's a different test that, you know, humans can.
What would the test be?
I mean, I guess that would be the ultimate test to be perfection, but in real life, we're not made to be perfect, so.
Okay, let's say right now God drops that crane on your head, kills you, you die. Boom!
Correct.
You're transported right before the throne room of God.
Uh-huh.
He's on the bench. He is the just judge of all the world.
Yeah.
And he opens up the books on you. Right.
Okay.
So he knows everything you've thought, everything you've done. He knows everything you failed to do.
Right.
The books are open on you.
Mm-hmm.
Would you be innocent or guilty before God?
We'd be guilty, but hopefully he would, you know, I've done enough that his grace would provide for a little, you know, to make up for the things that I haven't done.
Let me share this thought with you.
Okay.
If a criminal said that to a judge, let's go back to an earthly courtroom.
Yeah.
Pretty good parallel here.
Uh-huh.
And the criminal said, okay, judge, I know that I've fill in the blank with the crime.
Right.
I've murdered, I've stolen, whatever. I beat up the dog or whatever it is. Okay. But I gave $20 to the Red Cross and I helped a little old lady across the street.
Mm-hmm.
The judge would probably scratch his head and say, that has nothing to do with this court case.
Correct.
your good deeds or what you think are good deeds have no bearing on the case. And furthermore, you're trying to persuade me and almost bribe me with your good deeds.
Correct. Yeah.
So let's go back to the heavenly courtroom.
Well, hopefully, you know, yes, we're not going to be able to do every good deed in this world, but the ones that we don't do and that we should get punished for, I think that's what Jesus Christ came here and was able to die on the sin for our sins, so that he kind of paid some of that penalties for us. But still, at the same time, we do have to do as much as we can. You know, what that standard is, I don't think we know. I mean, that's why you got to try to do as much as you can, but...
Let me run this by you. Okay. See what you think of this. All right. Right. And this is going to be very, very harsh up front.
Yeah.
So just be patient with me, because I would suggest to you that the resolution is better than the one maybe you're wrestling with right now.
Okay.
All right. There is nothing inside of you that is presently good before God. Just hang in there with me.
Okay.
All right. It's called total depravity.
Uh-huh.
Now, it doesn't mean that you don't ever do a nice thing or a good thing or a helpful thing for society.
Okay.
But here's the problem. Your members, your motives, your thoughts, your desires, everything about you is tainted with sin.
Okay.
So imagine it. Maybe this is kind of a rough parallel. Mm-hmm. Adolf Hitler, we all agree, evil, wicked, rotten guy.
Yeah.
Okay? Adolf Hitler brings a dozen roses to a woman and says, "Here, look what," to a Jewish woman.
Okay.
He murdered everybody in her family and says, "Here is a dozen roses."
Yeah.
What an offering that would be, huh? The roses are beautiful. They're very nice. They smell beautiful.
Yeah.
But they're coming from Adolf Hitler.
Correct.
You do nice things.
Mm-hmm.
You do good things. But they're coming from a guy who's corrupt. I'm not calling you Adolf Hitler.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, you offer something to God and say, "Look at the good deeds I've done."
Mm-hmm.
To him, they're not good at all, because they're coming from this guy who's at heart wicked and corrupt.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
That's pretty harsh, isn't it?
It is, but I believe at the same time that, you know, as a human being that believes in God and Christ, that, you know, there's the Son, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So, and the Spirit can live within us. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, this earthly body we have, I think, is corrupt because it's made of this world, but there's a Spirit that does live inside of us that has, you know, good inside it, that can overcome the evil tendencies that our body has.
Right.
But, you know,
I agree with that.
Okay.
But the question is, how does that Spirit get into you? Here's what I think, where a lot of people stumble on the whole Christian religion idea.
Okay.
They get out of the starting blocks wrong.
Yeah.
When I asked you if you're a good person, a bad person, or an ugly person, you were trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
Here's what the Bible says. We are all by nature sinful and corrupt and unclean. All of our righteous deeds are like filthy rags. Everybody falls short of God's standard.
Correct.
So God looks down at us from his vantage point, comparing us to himself, which is perfection, which is revealed in the Ten Commandments. And he looks at us and we are wicked, awful people. Yeah. And there is nothing we can do that is pleasing to him in and of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And until an individual arrives at that place where they agree with that, not only am I not good, I am wicked, awful, bad.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're starting in the wrong place.
Okay.
Because once you get to that point, then all of a sudden that idea of Jesus Christ, the God-man, like you rightly said, the Trinity, you got that exactly right, dying for somebody like me is suddenly almost makes you want to gasp for air, because the fact that God would do that for a sinner like me is beyond my comprehension. And then when we come to him lowly and broken, confessing and turning from our sins and putting our trust in Jesus, without confessing any goodness of our own, but calling out to God for mercy, he then takes the goodness of Jesus, gets credited to your account too.
Okay.
So not only will you be seen as not guilty when you repent and trust the Savior, but you'll be credited with the righteousness of Jesus Christ himself.
Mm-hmm.
You will be seen as holy and righteous before God. So that any goodness that we have is because of what Jesus did and nothing that we do.
Uh-huh.
That way, he gets all the credit.
Uh-huh.
And he gets all the praise and he gets all the glory. Because if it's something that you kind of do and he makes up the rest, it's kind of a Mormon idea or a Catholic idea. You don't do your best and Jesus does the rest. You've done nothing but bad and Jesus has done it all.
Yeah. Okay.
Because that way, Jesus gets all the credit for everything. All right, now here's my question for you.
Okay.
That question I asked about being good, bad, and ugly.
Yeah.
It's a really important question.
Okay.
And it's kind of a loaded one, and maybe you weren't thinking in these terms.
Yeah.
But it's my experience, and I think the Bible backs this up. If a man thinks that he's good, he has not yet been saved.
Correct. Yeah.
Because you've got to come to bed recognizing you're bad and ugly.
Uh-huh.
So my question for you, young man,
uh-huh.
Have you come to God confessing you're bad and ugly, there's nothing good in and of yourself, and you've turned from your sins and you've put your trust in Jesus? Have you done that?
I have.
When did you do that?
I did it, I guess you could say, about teenage years. I was 15.
Yeah.
And I went to a camp, and basically, you know, I'd grew up in church, so... you know, I knew I thought I was a Christian, but then I think that's the time I decided, you know, it's more than just something you read in words. And so
it's true.
Yeah.
Okay. So have you been living for the Lord since that time?
No,
not, that's not imperfection.
No, yeah, not,
okay,
perfection.
Not perfection.
Yeah.
We still sin plenty.
Yes. But yes, overall, yes.
Okay. Maybe just examine your heart, yep. See what's going on. It's good to do a little checkup, mm-hmm. Once in a while.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Hey,
enjoy
thanks
it.
For the chat.
Thank you.
Enjoy the flicks.
Okay.
Good choices, man. All right. Hey, see you. Enjoy
all
the
right.
shade.
All right.
See ya. It's Witness Wednesday here at Georgia Tech on Wretched Radio.
Well, hello there. Thanks for stopping by to Wretched Radio. Okay, that sounded a little creepy, but regardless, thank you for tuning in to Wretched Radio today. We do appreciate you listening to the radio program every single day, and we also want to point you in the direction of Wretched TV. That's right, a 30-minute program hosted by Todd each and every day. Contains live witnessing encounters, discussions of tough theological issues, and various topics in the Christian community. You can watch those full-length Wretched TV episodes right now, available to you at wretched.org/TV. That's wretched.org/TV. Also, Wretched is available on Roku, Amazon Prime, Truly, and Amazon Fire TV. You know, it's only because of our gospel partners that we can make Wretched TV available to everyone. So if you're not a gospel partner, would you please consider becoming one? You can get all the details on that at wretched.org/donate and help us to continue to make Wretched available to everybody. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Not to offend people who love math, I'm not one of them, but these are numbers that should not be boring. $500 is what the average family saves with MediShare every month, not per year, every month. Right now, before the end of February, you will also save $170 off of your enrollment fee. Here's another number, 400,000 members. Another number, 25 years, MediShare has been providing affordable biblical health sharing. Telehealth, huge network of doctors, and fellow believers who help one another to share their healthcare burdens and even gasp, pray for one another. Our final set of numbers, 844-34-BIBLE, 844-34-BIBLE, to learn more about MediShare.
I say potato, you say potato. I say primer, he says primer. For the last 20 years, there's been a remarkable amount of talk about the gospel. But could it be that we've been talking more about the message than we have the wellspring of the message? The word gospel is used 25 times in the New Testament, but the word Jesus is used 691 times. Have we majored more on the message than we have on the center of the message? Maybe it's time we fill our hearts and our conversations more with Jesus. And Wretched has a unique opportunity for you to begin doing just that. Pastor Milton Vincent has written a powerful book that we know will grow your love for Christ. He calls it The Gospel Primer. I say primer. Either way, we wanted to make this book available to you because we want you to begin to experience the joy of the Lord in a more powerful way. Get your copy of The Gospel Primer by visiting wretched.org/gospel. That's wretched.org/gospel.
Books of the Bible. The Apostle Peter wrote to the elect exiles who were facing persecution for the sake of Christ. Peter exhorted them to trust God and to continue living godly lives. He reminds them of their hope in Christ and their high calling. When you want to learn joyful obedience, no matter what your circumstances, look to 1 Peter.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
We're at summer session here at Georgia Tech, and there's a few kids around, not a ton, but there are enough. Let's see who we can find to talk to. All right, there's a dude listening to us. Hey, dude, where are you going right now?
I'm going to Student Center.
I want to ask you a question, one question, all right? Do you believe in Easter? That's the question.
I believe in Easter.
Yeah.
I'm Catholic, so yeah, I believe in it. You talking about the bunny thing and all that?
Well, how do you define it? What is Easter? The bunny thing and all that?
No, I'm saying, that to me is just mostly commercial, so people just make it
money. Okay, then the religious part of it.
The religious part of it is just supposed to be like the resurrection of Jesus.
That is correct, sir. Yes, sir.
So, I mean, just celebrate it. I mean,
But do you believe in it?
Do I believe in it?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Okay. Oh, I mean, I wouldn't be Catholic if I didn't believe in it.
All right. So why do you believe in it?
Why do I believe in it? I don't know. I just, I guess it's just faith. I guess I just...
Well, what's the point? Tell me, why should I believe in Easter? You believe in Easter, I hear, so why should I believe in Easter?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I was told this when I was very young, and then I still believe it to this day. It's just something I really can't explain. I believe it's true. And, you know, I respect everybody else's faith, but I still believe it.
What was the point? What was going on there?
Well,
okay, so the idea is Jesus.
He saved everybody from their sins and everything, and that's the whole point of Easter.
Mm-hmm.
So that's essentially what it is. There's no simpler way to say it.
Okay. So everybody is forgiven because he died.
Essentially, that's what the holiday's about.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Like Buddhists and Hindus and. Everybody?
Well, in my opinion, I don't care what your walk of life is. I think that you're forgiven. So, I mean, as long as you lead a good life, you know. You don't. I have a little bit more of a liberal view of Catholicism in that sense. I don't think that if you're not Christian that you go to hell. So,
have you been living a good moral life?
No.
So what is
I mean, I try, but you know, there's a few things like you know, have a couple of drinks every now and then. I don't know.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But I try. You know, I think everybody does.
What about lying?
What about lying?
How good are you in that department?
Have you told what kind of lie?
A lie.
Sometimes I lie to mess with people.
Well, you know the type I'm talking about.
Yeah, I'm pretty honest person. You know,
or just say something. You know, hey, I can't come over because I'm busy, but you're just sitting there watching TV. You know, lying.
Yeah. Most of the time, they're pretty justified, though, so I don't really have too much in that department.
How do you justify it? I'm curious.
How do I justify lying?
Okay, so let's say I ask you a question. Do I look fat in these shorts? You know, like a woman would say, do I look fat?
If it's a woman, that changes everything, though. Because then, you know, you got to lie to her, you know.
Why don't you just tell her the truth?
Because women are sensitive,
for the most part. Here's what I think. I think that we tell lies in a case like that not to protect the woman, but to protect us from the woman when we tell the truth.
Oh.
That's what I think.
Well, that's kind of what
think,
it is.
Yeah, so I still think it's a lie, but you've told lies to get out of trouble or to make yourself look better, exaggerate a story.
Of course, everybody's right, tried to talk to their parents and just said, hey, I wasn't doing anything wrong. I was just at the party, I was just there, you know.
Uh-huh. Okay, what about stealing? Have you stolen anything?
Nah.
You sure?
Really. Other than music.
Yeah. Well, that counts?
It counts, yeah.
Okay.
But, I mean, most of the stuff that I do, if I respect someone enough, I'll usually buy it. But if it's something that's really not worth the money that I think they're putting on that little price tag, I'm not going to buy it.
Well, that's like walking into a store and saying, you know, I don't think those Ray-Ban sunglasses on top of your head are worth it. I'm going to steal them.
True. But these are actually, like, well-made and everything. I mean,
I
produce music myself, so I can tell when someone hasn't taken the time to do something. So if I don't think it's worth my money and I know they're still making, like, hundreds of thousands of dollars, I don't have any problem with it.
Sound like a socialist. Let's try this one. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's not pure. That's not leading a moral life, right?
Yeah, of course not.
Because Jesus said...
Like, look at that one right there, like, you know.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good.
Do you know each other?
Yes.
Sort of. Okay. Hey, let me ask you a question about this guy. We're trying to determine if he's led a moral life. What would you say?
Dude, I told
you. Wasn't encouraging.
I would tell you no.
Why are you laughing at him?
Well,
you have beautiful teeth, by the way.
Thank you.
Why do you laugh at his lack of morality? You know him, do you?
Well, yes. Well, let's take this example. There is a organization function. It was like a supposed to be a poetry kind of like a poetry jam type event. You're supposed to bring, you know, fresh ideas, poems, or
and that was fine.
Or some music, like ideas like that. This guy sat up on stage with a cup of rum.
It was whiskey.
Okay, whiskey.
Get the facts straight, ma'am. It was whiskey.
He had a cup of alcohol and sat there and made the audience create a hook to a song.
Got it.
I mean,
it was like a standard routine, but instead I was getting the audience involved.
It was a catchy hook.
All right. So on the morality scale, not a 10. Is that correct?
Not a 10. Right. I'm like a 5.
Okay, so but you said before.
I said I'd try.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah, I said.
Four.
Radio.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. How do you get your teeth that white? Honestly.
I don't know. I use whitening products.
That would explain it.
Pro Health. I do not.
That would explain it. Don't put a light on those. You'll blind somebody. They're beautiful.
Crest.
Oh, Crest. Okay, thanks very much. Yeah. Okay, all right. So here's what you said to me before.
Yeah, I know. I said that I'd try.
You just kind of go to heaven.
Yeah.
Okay, but
I say if you lead a moral life, I'm not saying that I'm going to heaven.
I
never said that.
Die?
I don't know. Like, I believe in purgatory, first of all, but I'm not even sure if I'm going to go there.
There's no place as purgatory. There's heaven, there's hell.
There's heaven, there's hell. I'll probably go to hell. Probably. At this point in my life. Hmm. So if I just died, like, right now, that's probably
You'd
what would happen.
You'd go to hell.
Probably.
You're a risk taker, then.
Yeah, I'm living on the edge. But,
you are.
You know, I mean, every day I try to make an improvement and stuff. I'm not that bad, but...
Okay,
I
but
mean,
here, let me ask you this. If, let's just say, starting today, you cleaned up your act, you were perfectly moral for the rest of your life, you still have a whole lot of immorality to give an accounting for, correct?
Yeah, you can say that.
All right, so let's say you died in 20 years after being moral from this day forward.
Well, I mean, is like the immorality, is that like some nuclear thing? Does it have a half-life or something like that?
I don't think
like...
so. You know, the crime, the guilt doesn't go away. You know, sometimes they catch these guys from World War II and they're like 95 years old. They still put them in jail because... time doesn't make guilt go away.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Well, I mean, you're talking about the difference between... Well, I don't think... the law would be different. I don't think the law really defines... the law is not God, so you know what I'm saying?
But like, but God is the law.
God is like the... I believe he's like the... it's a different... It's not the law that we have here.
It's a higher
law. And I'm not saying to disobey the law either. I'm just saying that when someone gets arrested, that doesn't mean that they don't feel bad for what they did, even if they get arrested at 95. But that's the law. So you gotta, you'll get arrested if you,
right.
like, you know.
Right. So if you get arrested, God arrests your heart and you die, and you stand before him, and he opens up the books on your life, what is God, the just judge of the whole universe, what's he going to do with you? What must he do with you?
I mean, it'd probably be just like court of law. I'd probably try to make my case and everything.
Okay, make your case. Go. What do you got?
What do I got?
You're guilty.
I never killed nobody. I never killed anybody.
Have you ever been angry with somebody?
Yeah, but we've always made up.
Okay,
so.
But you're a murderer at heart. If you just,
I'm a murderer at heart.
When you yell at somebody, you flip them off, you call them a bad name.
True.
Okay, what's your next offense?
What's my next offense? I don't know. Like, I've never really done anything too bad. Like, I've never...
Have you ever lusted?
Yeah,
somewhat. Have you ever lied? Have you ever stolen?
Yes,
right?
Yeah.
Okay, all of those things, those are bad things.
Yes.
Because that's his laws.
That's
and
true.
God is the law. So what's he going to do?
But we believe in, at least in Catholicism, we believe in different levels of sin. And, like, some of them we call mortal sins. So that's, like, murder. And, stealing to the extent of, like, let's say you go to the store and just, like, rob a bank or something like
I
that.
Understand.
You put people in danger.
I understand.
Then we have something called venial sins. But and those are supposed to be, you can forgive those, basically.
Okay, but here's the problem, though. No matter no matter how you want to categorize them, they're an awful offense before God. And the Bible says all liars will have their part in a lake of fire.
True.
I will not hold him blameless who takes my name in vain. So if you've ever used God's name in a bad way, he's gonna deal with you, and he's gonna give you what you deserve.
That's true. I expect that. And if he's gonna do that, he'll send me to hell. I expect that. But I'm a sinner, so some of the things I do, I can't.
I got 1 minute left with you.
All right.
Here's what I want to tell you. Please listen carefully.
All right.
You're right. He's gonna send you to hell, but that's not his desire. He wants to save you.
Yeah.
But he can't just forgive your sins. Otherwise, he won't be just. So in order to forgive your sins and to rescue a wicked guy like you and me, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to take the punishment that you and I deserve. He died on the cross. He rose from the dead the third day, defeating death.
Mm-hmm.
And on the cross, he said, it is finished. And if you, young man, will repent and put your trust in him, you don't go to a man in a box, you repent.
Yeah.
You call out to him for mercy, and you put your trust in his son and him alone, no other worldview. He says he'll take the goodness of Jesus and he'll credit it to your account, and all of your sins, past, present, and future, will be completely forgiven, and he'll grant you everlasting life. Nothing you do merits his favor. Everything Jesus did does. But in order for you to, if you will, access that, you need to repent.
Yeah.
Confess, forsake your sins, put your trust in him, and he promises all of your sins forgiven and the righteousness of Jesus credited to your account. Then when you die, you'll go to heaven, not because of what you've done, but because of what Jesus did. And that way he gets all the credit. No purgatory.
Yeah.
It's heaven, it's hell. All Jesus right. either died to forgive you or not. Think about it, okay?
All right.
Goodbye.
Thank you.
We're at Georgia Tech. It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I am Jimmy Higgs. Well, yesterday, Xavier Becerra defended his past opposition to a ban on partial birth abortion, but said that he hopes to find, quote, common ground with those who disagree with him on the issue. Becerra, who was President Biden's choice for Secretary of Health and Human Services, took questions from members of the U.S. Senate Health Committee, including Senator Mitt Romney, who asked Becerra why he voted against a ban on partial birth abortion. Becerra, while a member of the U.S. House of Representatives, voted against bans on partial birth abortion multiple times, including 1996 and 2003. Partial birth abortion is a procedure in which the doctor delivers a late-term baby, feet first, until only the head remains in the birth canal. The doctor then suctions out the brain, allowing for a dead delivery. The bills Becerra opposed in 1996 and 2003 included an exception for the life of the mother. President Bush signed a ban on partial birth abortion in 2003. The law was upheld by the U.S. Supreme Court. A coalition of more than 60 pro-life leaders sent a letter to members of the Senate Health Committee urging them to oppose Becerra's nomination. The coalition called him a radical on abortion. The number of lives ended in abortion by Planned Parenthood is staggering, but even one would be too many. Last week, Planned Parenthood quietly released its most recent annual report for the 2019-2020 fiscal year. The document highlighted the hurdles the nation's largest abortion provider has faced amid the COVID-19 pandemic and the Trump administration's laws. But yet, their business is booming. Planned Parenthood counted 354,871 abortions for the year 2019-2020, the highest number ever recorded. Those aborted are just numbers to Planned Parenthood. However, they should all be names. Combining abortion numbers from years past by pro-life group Live Action, the abortion giant has performed more than 8.6 million estimated abortions since 1970. Put that into context, imagine a decimated New York City, or countries with populations comparable to that of Switzerland or Israel, destroyed. Planned Parenthood affiliates saw a total of 2.4 million patients from 2018 to 19, according to the report. Assuming that no patient had more than one abortion during that time period, roughly 17% of the female patients were there for an abortion, and yet the report noted that, quote, abortion services accounted for just 3% of affiliate medical services. For years, the media has repeated the claim that abortions performed by Planned Parenthood consist of only 3% of the group's total services, but it's obvious that that is not the correct number. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Higgs.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the seed of the woman. Immediately after the fall of man, God promised a savior who would be the offspring of the woman. Jesus was born of a virgin, a divine savior born of the seed of woman. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Crash and burn. I got a funny feeling I'm going to crash and burn. This is Wretched Radio. It's Witness Wednesday at Georgia Tech. There are two fellas sitting underneath a tree. Witnessing to two, never easy, but let's give it a go, shall we? Gentlemen, I hate to interrupt this. Could I interrupt it, though, for just a moment and ask you a couple of questions on the radio? You up for that today?
I've already talked to you before.
Is that right?
A couple weeks ago. Yeah.
Where were we?
You were wearing sunglasses and we were over there.
That's where we were. You remember?
Yeah.
What did we talk about?
Well, you caught me right after a young man asked me about my faith and suggested a couple of chapters of the Bible to take a look at.
Really?
I believe so.
And you didn't do it?
No, I did not.
Okay. So the conversation meant nothing to you?
Well, I wouldn't say that. I think if it meant nothing to me, I wouldn't have entered into the conversation in the first place.
All right, let me walk over to your buddy here so we don't ignore him. Hello, young man. What's your first name?
My name's Kip.
Are those butter pretzels or regular pretzels?
Regular and salty.
Because you must like the salty pretzels. Yeah? What's the point of eating a pretzel if it doesn't have a lot of salt on it, right? All right. Dude, we're talking about the Bible over here. Are you a Bible-reading kind of guy?
No, I'm not.
How come?
Probably due to laziness. I've tried to read it, but not hard enough.
Okay. Why did you try to read it?
I wanted to be able to say I'd read it, because occasionally radio men pop out of sidewalks. And
it happens.
And I feel
and
like
you would have been prepared.
It would make for a better conversation.
Now, aren't you sorry that you didn't read it when you were supposed to?
I am regretting it a little bit.
Yeah. At a dinner party and the subject comes up, you can say, seen the Ten Commandments.
Expert.
I've read the Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
All right. Do you know what the Ten Commandments are?
I probably couldn't list them sequentially.
Not asking you to list them. What are they? What's the concept behind the Ten Commandments?
A list of rules handed to us on high that we should follow.
Well done. Have you followed them?
To the best of my ability, in most cases, yes.
Hmm.
I've not gone out of my way to break the Ten Commandments.
Are you sure?
Yes. I'm sure that I have not gone out of my way to break them.
I'll bet you have.
Out of my way? I mean, I'm pretty lazy. We've already established
I'm not even
willing to read the Bible.
I mean, okay, let's try this one. Lies. Have you lied before?
I have.
That took some energy.
But I didn't go and lie with the idea of breaking the Ten Commandments.
Does that make a difference? What difference does it make what zip code you're in or what effort you put into lying? To go with the intention of lying or just, oop, I just ended up lying, really doesn't make a whole lot of difference, does it?
I was going with the original question of whether or not I went out of my way.
All right, fair enough. All right, I changed it on you. Does it make a difference?
In the general sense that the intention of your lie makes a difference, but in the context of the situation, excuse me, I'm not really sure.
So intention can make you innocent even though you've done a guilty thing. If I were a criminal and I'm standing before the judge and I had I beat up my wife, but judge, I didn't intend to, what's he going to say?
Well, I don't think anyone would phrase it that way, but I'm pretty sure that such thing as motive exists.
Well, I lost my head. We went out to dinner and boy, the way she behaved, and I cuffed her. I didn't intend to.
So we're comparing what might be an off-the-cuff lie that I might tell to you beating your wife.
Oh, I thought you were going to go with the cuffing thing. That would have been a good thing.
Yeah.
Huh? Right? He missed that one.
Yeah, well. Maybe that was why I said cuff. I were clever with mine.
All right. But it doesn't make any difference, right? Okay, how's about this one? The Ten Commandments. As a child, honoring your mother and father.
Yes, I think I've tried to do that.
But have you done it perfectly?
No.
You're a naughty child.
I'm not a perfect child, that's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't met one yet. I got three of them myself, and they're little monsters sometimes, right? So are all kids, so you probably were too, right?
I guess you could say that.
All right. Were you a monster as a child?
Sure, at times.
Okay. All right, by the way, lying, are you innocent or guilty there?
Oh, I've lied.
You've lied. Thank you for making that nice and... Did you see the brevity of that answer? All right. All right. Stealing. Stolen anything?
Yes.
Young man?
Yeah, probably.
All right, let's try this one. Instead of axe outside of you, axe inside of your head.
Oh,
all right?
Well, this is gonna be fun.
Perhaps. Lust. Have you lusted?
Yes, I have lusted.
All righty, young man.
I'm stuck on the all of them comment, but yes.
Uh-huh. So you've lusted. All right, so your thought life isn't pure. Have you ever been just really, duh, that jerk, that idiot?
Oh, yeah.
Just mad at somebody.
Oh,
driving
yeah.
Along. All right. And you?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so that would be like murdering in the heart. You don't commit the act, but you're actually murdering the person with your words or your thoughts.
I would tend to disagree there, sir. There might be a part of you that wants something bad to happen to that person, but at the same time, the reason why you don't actually act on that is because you can control that.
But somebody, have you ever had an attitude in your heart about somebody that was just kind of nasty because of the way they looked, their weight, their size, their anything, their behavior, and you just thought really nasty things about them?
I don't think that nasty, no.
You don't do that?
I wouldn't say it anywhere near murdering or even wishing ill harm on someone.
Never done that, huh?
If I would have, I think I would have reconciled it later with, I was out of line.
Let's try this as far as wishing for something. Coveting, desiring something that doesn't belong to you. Winning the lottery, getting that fancy car that doesn't belong to you. Have you ever coveted?
I have wanted things I do not have.
All right. Young man?
Sure.
All right. How many commandments did we just go through? 4, 5, something like that?
Sure.
Right. Well, something like that. About 4 or 5?
On the order, yeah.
Okay, so you've broken 4 or 5 commandments. Here's my question for you. All right? Let's say you're a young man, but you die.
Right.
Although, dude, you're getting gray hair. What's up with that? You're aware of that, right?
I live a very stressed life.
I don't think so.
My last name's gray, too, so it's kind of cool. It works out.
You know what that's called? Nominative determinism.
I don't even know if I could say that.
I'm not sure it applies to gray hair, but nominative determinism is when your name sounds like something or means something, and you go on to be that profession or live that way.
I wish I would have been named Awesome Grad Student.
or maybe just brunette.
There you go. Even better. Nice. Luscious head of hair.
Well, that'd be a little wordy. Wouldn't fit on most business cards. You wouldn't get hired.
Hyphens are cool, though.
What's your first name?
Kip.
Kip. Luscious head of hair. Yeah. See, that just doesn't have anything to it. All right. Gentlemen, you've broken the commandments. All right. Let's say at your young age, God calls your number. It is time for you to die. Every man should think about this. What's going to happen when I die?
It's going to happen.
It is going to happen. Mm-hmm. And he's going to judge you for every thought, every word, every deed. Knowing that God sees everything that's going on in your heart and in your mind, every deed done in darkness, everything you failed to do, would God find you to be innocent or guilty of keeping his commandments? Mr. Gray?
I would not put it in my realm of thought to guess what God would think of me.
But you can conclude pretty easily. If you've broken the commandments, we can use it as a mirror to know exactly what the verdict would be.
I wish I could say that I was knowledgeable enough about the hereafter to say that there was a checklist or some sort of determined form that I'd fill out, but I just don't know enough about that, I guess.
Let me suggest to you it's the Ten Commandments, all right? And you're filling out the form every day you live, and God's keeping track. And God knows exactly what's going on inside of your heart, your mind, and what you're doing, okay? And while we can't know the mind of God, secret things of God are God's secret things, but he's revealed some things to us, and he's revealed his standard by which he will judge the world, the Ten Commandments. So if you know that you've broken the commandments, then right away you should know this is a presumption that you would be guilty.
I agree with you that I think God would be able to say that I've broken the Ten Commandments. But that is about as far as I could go, only on the logic that I have broken those Ten Commandments, as you just so proved.
Well, then you can stop me if you think this is illogical, all right? But we have a sense of justice of what is right and wrong, and when a criminal is found to be guilty, we all know what happens to that person. He's not rewarded. He's punished, correct? So following that line of justice, of understanding justice, if you're guilty and you're guilty and I'm guilty, I know that, what should God do with us? Should he reward us or should he punish us? What should God do with you?
Well, on that logic and that logic alone, and this is assuming that the two of us, this is kind of the same point that Kip was making, understand God enough to know how he would think, how he would act, which I think relates to how confident are we in the truth of the Bible. Then, yeah, sure, God would punish us. God would throw me in a lake of fire until the end of time, more or less, after I croak. That being said, I wouldn't call myself a Christian. I can't speak for anyone else here. So I don't really have any reason to believe necessarily that the Bible is the accurate testament of what God would think out of a given situation. That's why I sit here and I seem so complacent about the whole thing.
All right, guys.
That's my own thing.
I know I interrupted your thing here, all right? I got to do a commercial. Will you let me do that and we'll keep going with this conversation? Will you afford me that?
I can't be here indefinitely.
Me neither. And you know what? I appreciate that. So just sit tight. It's Wretched Radio.
59 million people died last year from diseases like heart disease, cancer, diabetes. But the number one leading cause of death, its very own category of 42.6 million lives that ended, abortion. It is hands down the number one leading cause of death on the globe. And that statistic can overwhelm us and cause us to give up. But it should motivate us to get engaged, get involved, and fight for one life at a time. And we can do that through preborn.org/wretched. $28 buys an ultrasound. 80% of the time, mom chooses life. That is a good investment that saves lives. Would you please consider supporting as many ultrasounds as you can at preborn.org/wretched.
How do I live in a world that hates me? If you find yourself asking that question, you're not alone. America is changing right under our feet. What's up is down, and what's down is now up. How do we respond as Christians to a world that's increasingly hostile toward us? Well, thankfully, God has much to say on the subject, and it may actually shock you to hear. God doesn't want us to reclaim America. He doesn't want us to impose our will on society. So, what does God want? Well, you can find out by downloading and watching our resource, Persecution, which is available now for a limited time for free. This 13-part series will carefully walk you through the book of 1 Peter, God's marching orders for living in an upside-down world. Persecution sets forth a biblical response to what's likely the most urgent question for Christians today. How do we live in a world that hates us? Download your copy of Persecution free right now by visiting wretched.org/persecution. That's wretched.org/persecution.
Despite what all of the headlines say, there is some very good news happening around the globe. Jesus is still fulfilling his promise to build his church. Nothing is going to stop it. And right now in Eastern Europe, he is doing just that through the Tomorrow Clubs. Kids clubs all throughout very poor Eastern European countries. And thanks to you, wretched person, more and more clubs are being sponsored, more and more kids are being saved, and more churches are being strengthened. Paul Marty from the Tomorrow Clubs.
Every time we visit a Tomorrow Club and talk to kids and leaders, we are blown away by the gospel's power to change lives. And the Wretched audience has been such a big part of making that possible.
Would you please consider sponsoring your very own Tomorrow Club, $30 a month, 30 Little Disciples, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Important dates in Christian history. 1906. The Azusa Street Revival in Los Angeles, California, launches Pentecostalism and paves the way for the development of the modern charismatic movement. Pentecostalism is marked by a focus on supernatural gifts such as healing and speaking in tongues. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Okay, this is going to be fascinating. This is going to be very good. This is something I've always wanted to know, and you might have the answer for me, young man. It's Wretched Radio. Okay, your last name is?
My last name is Zeller Townsend.
Which is a hyphen.
Hyphenated last name.
And you were just telling me that the reason you've got a hyphenated last name is because your mother...
Mother's a little bit of a feminist, didn't want to lose her last name when she got married.
Okay, now, here's what I can't figure out. What happens when you get married? What does your wife do?
Well, we're going to have to figure that out when we get there.
What happens? Because ultimately, I mean, if this keeps going on...
Right, yeah. So if you just continue in a very linear fashion, then sure, eventually you'd end up with last names that would be, like, infinitely long after an infinite period of time. However, I believe the standard thing to do is that you take, like, one last name from one parent and one last name from the other parent, and you recombine them. And there's some sort of, like, specific order to do it. You take, like, the paternal grandfather and the maternal grandmother.
There's going to be fights involved. This is still going to cause a problem. All you've done is just push the problem back a little bit, haven't you?
To me, perhaps. Either way, my kid's probably going to have two last names, at least.
All right, gentlemen, here's where we left off, if you recall. I was trying to appeal to your conscience, that little courtroom in your brain that says, I did something wrong.
Oh, yeah.
And that conscience seems to exist globally, which is an interesting observation.
Yeah,
that everybody seems to understand that there's lying is bad, murder is bad, stealing is bad, that there are certain things that are bad. I was trying to appeal to your conscience, really outside of the Bible even, that there's something inside of us that says, yes, it is right that justice takes place and that wrongdoers give an account and are punished for their behavior. I'm trying to appeal to that inside of you.
Wrongdoers should be punished for their behavior. I agree. I believe it's the best way to teach them.
Now, what I'm trying to persuade you in the most gentle, loving way that I possibly can is that you guys are wrongdoers. That's what I'm trying to persuade you of. That you guys are guilty criminals just like me.
I would certainly agree, and I think that's true of anything that isn't a comic book.
All right.
Would you agree that you are a, if you will, a guilty criminal of breaking the Ten Commandments, the laws that you knew inside of you were wrong?
Yes.
All right. So, guys, so justice says you should get something, you've earned something for yourself, and that would be punishment. Dude, while this life can be hard and it can be bad, it ain't not, I mean, what did you just eat, a 10-inch pizza? Sitting there?
This was one slice of a 16-inch pizza that was made yesterday.
Okay, and you had some sort of cherry cobbler thing in your backpack there? Life is sweet.
Oh, yeah. Life is sweet for me. I mean, any pain I go through is nothing compared to about probably 50% of the planet, at least.
All right, now let me try an analogy. If I tell a lie to my daughter, do you know what's going to happen to me?
Probably nothing.
Bingo. Now, I'm going to tell a lie to my wife. Do you know what's going to happen to me? Kip?
No, I do not.
I'm probably going to sleep on the couch.
Okay.
All right? Now, let's say I told a lie to my boss. Do you know what's going to happen to me for lying to my employer?
You'll probably get fired.
I tell a lie to the government. It's called treason sometimes.
Sometimes.
The government can put me in jail.
Or it can kill you.
Or it can kill me. Now, here's what I've done. I've committed the same crime four times, but I've received a more severe punishment each time. What changed in my little tale? Wow, you're fast. Again, okay, who is dealing out the punishment? The one against whom I committed the crime. I committed the same crime, but it was against, if you will, a greater entity, and therefore the punishment is more severe. Are we tracking together, fellas?
Sure.
Are you with me, Kim? Am I logicking this? Now, let's say that God is the creator and maker of my child, my wife, my boss, and the government, and he runs everything in the universe. He is more powerful, more lofty, more exalted than any of them. If I tell a lie and it's a crime against him, all of a sudden my punishment should become infinitely horrible. Same crime, but I've committed it against a greater entity. Therefore, my punishment is exceedingly bad.
Against an infinite person, certainly. Based off the logic you just threw out there, the greater the person, the bigger the punishment should be.
Okay, so your lying, gentlemen, was against God. And your lusting was a crime against God. And if you've ever done worse than that, and don't even nod at me, if you've looked at pornography or if you fornicated, it was against God. If you have ever been naughty with your parents, which you have, it was a crime against God. If you've ever taken his name in vain, instead of thanking him, you used his name in a profane way. He says, I will not hold him blameless who takes my name in vain, because it's holy. So if you've done any of those crimes, which you have, and they're committed against God, which they are, the punishment that you deserve is exceedingly bad. It's called, anybody want to fill in the blank?
I'm going to go with hell.
It's going to go with hell. All right, so guys, you die. I'm not trying to be presumptive. I'm just trying to think this through.
I think it's a safe presumption to say that we're all going to die.
We're all going to die, but if we're all guilty before God, we all deserve hell.
Living in that world, yeah.
Okay. And that is the world we're living in.
I wouldn't agree with you there.
Okay.
But at the same time, you don't,
but I'm trying to reason with you.
Okay.
All right. Now, that's not why I came to the campus today. I did not come here to tell you that you're going to hell. You are, but that's not why I came here. Okay? I came here with something different. I came here to reason with you, to maybe awaken that courtroom in your brain that says, I'm guilty, I've done wrong things, and I know it. I know I'm dirty inside. and I know I got a problem. I've come today to give you the solution to the problem. God's solution to your problem, and if you ever went to church as a kid, is that God, the just judge, must give you what you've earned for yourself, but he is kind, and he's merciful, and he's gracious, but he's got to punish you because he's just. So we got tension going on right now. God looks down, he sees you a sinner, and he goes, I got to punish him because that's what he's earned from me. But I'm loving, and I love Kip, and I love, what did you say? Riley.
Riley,
the Irish sort of hyphenated last name guy. I love Riley, and I love Kip, but I got to punish him because I'm just. So we got tension here. So the way that God came up with a plan to be just and the justifier of those that he forgives is to punish his son on your behalf. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, as a representative for you because he took on human form, but he's God himself. Took the punishment of man, which was really God using men to pour out his wrath on his own son on your behalf, died on a cross, taking the punishment that you deserve, so that if you, gentlemen, will listen to your conscience and agree with God, I'm a sinner, I'm not a good man, I'm a bad man, and I deserve his punishment, you turn from your sins, it's called repentance, and you put your trust in Jesus Christ, the goodness of Jesus will be credited to your account. It's the great exchange. God punishing the good man for the bad man. God taking the bad man's sins and putting them on the good man so that you could be forgiven and God can forgive you and still be just at the same time so he can show justice and mercy and compassion all together. Jesus died for the ungodly, for you, sinners. And if you don't respond to this message of good news, then he will give you what you deserved. But this day he offers peace. The terms are repent and trust his son, lest he be angry. And he will settle the score because of what Jesus did on your behalf. And you will be forgiven. And more than that, you will be credited with the righteousness of Jesus because he kept all of the laws and the Ten Commandments his entire life that you couldn't keep. He did. And God will credit those to your account too. It is called the good news of the gospel, what I just gave to you. You should be very afraid of hell, but this is important. You should not turn to him and put your trust in his son because you're scared of hell. You should turn to him and put your trust in him because he has been so kind to make a way for you, to die for you, and save you from hell. He wants you to come to him in tears, not just scared of hell. He wants you to come to him recognizing what a kind God that would save somebody like me. That is God's desire, to save you. He desires to save you so that he can point to you as a demonstration of his kindness, so that God can be seen as a good God by saving a guy like you, and a guy like you, and a guy like me. That's your purpose in this world, is to glorify God by repenting and trusting his son. That's why I came here, was to let you know that there is a good news story. Now we're done, and I'm walking away. And last time I walked away from you, and I didn't, like, track you or put a chip into you to follow you or get you into my cult.
Or to
get money from you guys. We'll probably never see each other again. Maybe we'll bump into each other again. That's what I wanted to share with you. And now I'm done. And now the ball is in your court, if you will. You need to figure out if what this stranger said was true. Jesus said, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his very soul? There's no reason to lose your soul when he offers you peace. Fair enough? I'm done preaching. All right. Thank you very much.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
It was nice to re-meet you, Tom.
Yes, nice to re-meet you, too. All right, gentlemen. Thanks for the chat. Appreciate it. See ya. All right. Goodbye. Who knows? Can't tell you. Who knows? I don't know. I have no idea what's going on in their hearts right now or their minds. But the good news is, it's not my job. All I can do is proclaim it, and that's all you can do, too. Don't ever forget that. Please witness to somebody you know. And if you're listening to this here program, and you have just heard the terms of peace for the first time, I would beg you, just like I beg Kip and Riley, please, don't die. Don't die and go to hell. Repent and trust Jesus Christ. Complete forgiveness of sins and everlasting life, and you will get to enjoy the most amazing thing in the entire universe. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.